Sunday night. That's right. It's Sunday night. It means it's time to rock and roll Totally Driven style, and we're going to do it for you tonight. That's right. Bay Ragney here. Totally Driven Radio Rocks. Sunday night, and actually, tonight's show's going to be a little bit different. We're going to mix it up a little and actually cut the show down. It's going to be an edited, slicked down version of Totally Driven Radio Rocks this weekend. Actually, I just got home a little while ago, and I was out doing Comic Cons all this weekend with my daughters and with Totally Driven Entertainment. I did a con on this past Friday night in Delaware, then I did another con on Saturday and Sunday all day long. So I didn't have a chance to put together a new show this week, and there's a ton of new music too. I wanted to get there, everybody. But I still did an interview the other day, and I wanted to get this interview out there. I didn't want to sit on it too much longer, because I really wanted to share it with everybody. And it's a band that's actually been on the show before, when their first EP came out 2 years ago, and the band is Salem's Lot. And this band is... Now, I've always been into that visual band, whether it's glam or shock rock or whatever it is. These guys are just a mixture. They are a glammed up shock rock to the max, over the top, balls to the walls, and as this person says in the interview, gives no fucks. They're known as Salem's Lot, and I talked to the lead singer Monroe Black the other day, and very, very candid interview, and we talked a lot about, you know, the image, and they've done a lot of crossover stuff with this past EP that came out earlier this year, with anime stuff, and a lot of animation, and they're doing a lot of videos now on YouTube with guitar, both him and his, he didn't actually say they're brothers, but I'm pretty sure they are, the guitarist Jet Black. They're doing like these anime songs and video game songs now on guitar on YouTube and things like that, and they're like crossing over into this world. So we talk about that, and we talk about the image, we talk about them getting banned from clubs out in LA, and it's just, but it's a very candid interviews, and the word, or the saying, give no fucks comes up a lot. So it kind of disguises, describes their attitude, so to say. So I'm going to do some music from them, I'm going to do the interview, and then I'm going to do some more music for them. So I figured, let me go back to the first EP first and play a couple tunes off that. So let's do it. And I got to give a shout out, not only to the band Salem's Lot, but good friends of mine who love this band. And I know they're listening now, and I know they're listening tonight. So good shout outs from my my Upper Darby brother and sister, Eddie Beswick and Diane. Both you guys, love you guys, and thanks for all your support. And this one goes out for you guys. Salem's Lot, No Choice to Love. to Jim Rudy Roxbury Ragney here, and there you go, Sonic Shock. And Salem's Lot, that's from their first EP, self-titled EP, which actually came out in 2015. And before that, we did No Choice Love, also from the same EP. Now, coming up, I'm going to play the interview, and then we'll play a couple tracks off their new EP, The Mask of Morality, Part 1. Part 2 will be coming out, possibly later this year. So stay tuned for that. But before I get into all that, I do have to pay my bills. I got to make sure I get my sponsors covered. So let me take a quick commercial break and pay the bills, keep the music going, keep the interviews going, keep the fun going, keeping the world totally driven, as well as myself. So make sure you check out all the sponsors, especially this first one, who's also not only a sponsor of the radio network, but of our magazine as well. It's ChrisFraleyPresents.com. He's funny, he's wild, he's crazy, he's wacky. He is freaking Black Man. That's right, he's Black Man. You got to check him out. He's freaking hysterical. His name's Chris Fraley. Chris Fraley, F-R-A-L-E-Y. ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
I'm Black Man, saving mankind, one stereotype at a time.
To the Black Mobile. To the corner of Martin Luther King Street and Malcolm X Boulevard, pronto.
Will Black Man make it to the crime on time? Or will he be on CPT? Stay tuned at ChrisFraleyPresents.com.
Attention business owners, website owners, event promoters, or anyone looking to promote your product. The Totally Driven Entertainment Radio Network is the perfect way to spread the word of your business around the world. That's right, you can advertise at our network and be played on all of our shows at rates that are so cheap, it's a no-brainer. For more information, contact Bay Ragney at bayragney@gmail.com. To keep your business driven, stay driven with Totally Driven Entertainment.
Are you a fan of Sherlock Holmes? Letters from Holmes offers unique, one-of-a-kind letters from the world-famous detective himself. Handwritten on 8.5-inch by 11-inch aged parchment paper and using smudge-free ink to produce original, high-quality letters that fans will treasure for years to come. Each letter is handcrafted and written from the perspective of Sherlock Holmes, mimicking Holmes's native tongue and embracing many of the famous detective's quirks, quips, insults, and peculiarities. Order a love letter, birthday greeting, personal correspondence, or more only at www.etsy.com/shop/lettersfromholmes.
For $5 today, you can buy a wealth of things. Gas for your car, rent a movie for the family, a few slices of pizza. $5 still takes you a long ways. But did you know that $5 can buy your child a bag of heroin in the streets? That's right. For only $5, your son or daughter can buy some of the cheapest and purest dope in the country. Be aware of the lies. Be aware of the stealing. Be aware that's all it takes to kill your child. $5. This message was brought to you by Casey's Cause, a group of parents located in southern Chester County out to save your child's life. Come join us today at www.caseyscause.com. And remember, $5 is all it takes. Casey's Cause, www.caseyscause.com.
Looking for that perfect gift for your ghoul friend? Then look no further than Teddy Scares. Teddy Scares are available in a variety of styles, sizes, and prices for all your shopping needs. Teddy Scares are a mix of cute and creepy to make a great gift for almost any age. Board up your windows, lock your doors, and log on to TeddyScares.com. And be sure to become our friends at Facebook.com/TeddyScares.
Calling all comic book fans. Do you collect comics? Did you ever collect comics? Do you think your children might like reading comic books? Do you even know they still print real, paper, non-digital comic books? Well then, visit the Pirates of Ontario Street Comics in Philadelphia. We have a massive collection of comic books, action figures, trading cards, and much more. We have one of the largest stocks of back-issue comics in the area. We bag and board every new comic book at no extra charge. Our store is voted the best comic book shop in the 2013 PHL 17 Hot List Contest. Part of the movie Unbreakable is filmed in our store. We are open 7 days a week. Ontario Street Comics is located at 2235 East Ontario Street in the Port Richmond section of Philly. Our phone number is 215-288-7338. Type in the words Ontario Comics Philadelphia to check out our wacky stores page on Facebook.
Alright, welcome back to Germany Rocks. Bay Ragney here. And there you go. Bills are paid. Make sure you check out them sponsors. They love us, we love them, and so should you. So, alright, so let's do this. Here he is. Talked to this guy the other day, and it was a fun interview. I mean, I really support these guys, and I know a lot of people do as well. And they give no fucks. You gotta love it. So here you go. Monroe Black from Salem's Lot.
Mr. Monroe Black.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, man. How you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing?
Good, good. So, actually, this is the first time for you. We had Jed on the show a few years ago.
Yeah, I think I recall him mentioning it before, yeah, a while back.
So, are you guys brothers?
Yes, we are related.
Oh, cool. Very cool. Very cool. So, the new album that came out earlier this year, the EP and all, it seems like you guys really are focusing in on this whole anime, video game lifestyle and, like, integrating it with it within the music and the, you know, the image and all that stuff.
Right. Well, I mean, we're not necessarily focusing on the whole, like, anime thing. It's more of this for storytelling purposes. I mean, one, it's a lot cheaper to, you know, do it that way as opposed to hiring a bunch of actors and trying to portray this whole dystopian future. I mean, we'd need a Hollywood budget to do it right.
Right.
So
right.
That was that aspect of that. We just thought the anime idea was just a nice touch. I haven't seen another band do it before. I'm pretty sure other bands have done some sort or form of animation, but, you know, it's just a way to portray the story to just, you know, try to make the video as clear as possible, at least for Enigma, anyway.
Right. Now, is there, like a plan, like you're saying, with the story and all, to maybe, like, actually make stories out of that and, like, go, like, into, like, a comic book graphic novel type world as well, or?
I mean, if you're talking about, like, you know, Kiss style with the comic books and all that stuff, but, like, it's an idea that popped up in our heads, yeah. We'd be open to it. I mean, we're not opposed to it by any means, but not something we're really focused on right now. It's just, like I said, the idea was just strictly for the music video. We just kind of had this concept to portray, you know, what we feel a very, like, Orwellian-styled future.
Right.
That, you know, society, we all see it now in the news and everything, you know, everybody's at each other's throats socially. So
sure.
It's just pretty much our depiction of what we think society could be heading towards. It's a scary thought, but, you know, it's something, you know, heavy metal is supposed to be scary, so it's supposed to be safe. If I wanted to write pop songs, I'd be in a pop band.
Yeah, you guys are not definitely a pop band.
No, I mean, there's elements of pop in our music. I'm not going to deny that. There's melody and there's structure, if you want to call that, I guess, pop. And I don't have a problem with that. I mean, a lot of metal guys are always like, you know, fuck that or fuck pop and all that poser stuff, whatever that, you know, that nonsense is. But it's like, there's no problem utilizing it in your music. Bands like Maiden and Priest, and they utilize pop hooks in their songs.
Right.
It's all there, whether people, you know, want to admit it or not.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, also, too, on the whole, you know, comic book world and all that, and
yeah,
you guys actually were mentioned in a cosplay magazine I saw.
Oh, yeah, we were. Yeah. That was a surprise to me, too, so. I don't know, I guess they just picked up on it and they liked the whole concept of the anime for Enigma and the three-part story that came along with it. Yeah, I guess it just worked. I mean, I think a lot of our audience, and you got to understand, a lot of our younger audience are into the, you know, into that kind of stuff, like animes and video games and stuff.
Right.
It's a lot more popular than it was than even when I was a kid and stuff. Like, you can walk down the street and you see billboards of some, you know, Japanese anime or whatever. You'd never see that, like, when I was a kid. It'd be non-existent.
Right.
It was considered, like, you know, nerdy or uncool, but now it's starting to gain some sort of mainstream appeal.
Yeah, it just, because I actually, as a matter of fact, I'm doing some this weekend. Both of my daughters, my two teenage daughters, and they're both really into that whole world and scene. and they're both artists. So we do conventions from time to time, and we're actually doing two different conventions this weekend. And I just, you know, as I was going through and I'm, you know, seeing all that stuff, and I'm thinking to myself, man, it would just be a great tie-in. Even perform, because now even times they're having bands perform at these, like, Comic Cons and stuff like that. I'm like, that would be, like, maybe a good avenue for you guys to go down.
Yeah, I mean, we're definitely open to it. We're not opposed to it. An audience is an audience. And I think it's just a great way even to get younger people into this style of music. You got to understand, like, a lot of young people don't know what, like, all these, you know, genres. Like, they don't know what hair metal is. They don't know what glam or whatever that is, heavy metal or traditional metal, black metal, blah, blah. They don't give a shit. They don't know.
Right.
They're completely oblivious to it. But a lot of what's interesting also about the whole anime aspect, the Japanese still utilize guitar in their music. And it's somewhat of a familiar avenue for them. So you can, like, watch an anime or play a video game, and there's still some, like, rock and roll aspects and some guitar-driven songs. So it's like when they hear that and then they hear us, like, oh, okay, they can maybe put two and two together. And it attracts the younger fan base. I mean, that's another reason for it.
Right. And I've been seeing, like, you know, you guys, you and Jed have been doing, like, these videos on YouTube where you're doing, like, these guitar covers of these different ones. And that alone, like, I'm thinking about, I thought to myself, like, instantly, like, I'm like, all right, well, I can now make my daughters fans of Salem's Lot because I could send those videos to them and they'll be hooked because that's what they sit and listen to is video game music and stuff like that. And it kind of baffles me, but that, you know, that's the way I, like, I can now make them fans of you guys.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And that's one of the reasons why we do it. We attract that younger audience. Like I said, they don't know about this music. They don't know it exists. They're just, you know, they're constantly being, you know, brainwashed into liking this pop garbage that we have now on the radio, these auto-tuned clowns and, like, these rappers and these guys, these mumble rappers and all this garbage. And they don't know any better. People don't have time to go search for, like, these great bands. And there's still great bands going around nowadays in the underground. But people don't have the time or the patience. So that's one way to reach to a younger audience.
Right.
And a lot of those songs, too, are just, you know, they're fun to play. It's stuff I even grew up on as well. You got to understand, like, even my generation, we didn't grow up on, like, the cool bands, you know, maybe the previous generation did, like, before us. We grew up with a lot of, you know, bands that, well, at least for me, I didn't like them. So I was listening to a lot of classical music, Baroque era music, romantic, video game music and composers, like Nobuo Uematsu and all that stuff. They're like, it's just embedded in what we do, whether we know it or not.
So I mean, you listen to stuff like that. Like, how did you take that and make it into what you guys are playing? I mean, that total different ends of the spectrum there.
Yeah. I mean, if you look at the source, a lot of this, you know, video game music or anime music, whatever you want to call it, it takes a lot from classical music, without a doubt. And then I was listening to classical music since I was a kid. My mom introduced me to it. I kind of got hooked. I first hated it. I thought it was like music and it was just boring.
Sure.
I didn't understand it. But then eventually started growing on me because she just, you know, that's what she did. She had to start taking piano lessons and all that stuff. And I started to find a niche for it. I really loved Bach, Handel, Segovia, all these guys, all these great players and composers. And I got really into that stuff, started studying classical music and classical guitar and composition. And before I even came out to LA, I was planning to go to Juilliard, but, you know, that was another story that never worked out. So I started a rock band instead. Yeah, and both Jet and I are classically trained, and I don't mean, like, listening to Yngwie Malmsteen classically trained. I mean, like, you know,
real
deal. And we just love that stuff, and it just creeped into our music. And again, same thing goes for the video game music. That's probably why I got attached to it as a younger kid, because you got all those old emo bands at the time when I was in school, and I thought that's what rock was. I was like, I don't like rock music. Like, this shit's gay. I don't get it. I didn't dig it at all. And so I just, you know, hide away, listen to, you know, classical stuff and, I guess, video game compositions. And I'll be like, this is like, whatever, I'll stick to this because I don't like what's going on around me. And then I found out about, like, bands like AC/DC and Early Crew and Rat. And then I was like, whoa, shit, this is fucking amazing. What is this? Little did I know, I was 30 years too late for the party, so. That's how it all started.
Now, how many instruments can you guys play? I mean, because in these videos, I'm seeing both you and Jet are playing guitar and bass in them.
Yeah. I can play. I'm just trying to think. Let's see. Piano. I consider even classical guitar a separate instrument because it's the technique.
Right.
I guess piano, classical guitar, you know, after we play electric, bass, violin, and just trying to think. There's some other stuff in between, like, you know, the ukulele, whatever. But and I can sing, apparently. I can, to some people anyway, I can sing. I don't know. It's all right. It's considered singing, but whatever. There you go.
Now, how about, like, in Japan? Like, I can picture you guys, like, huge in Japan.
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah, that would be sick. Well, we're down for sure. But I also think people have this misconception. You got to understand, like, our bass player, Kay, he's from Japan, so he knows the scene there.
Okay.
So a lot of, I think, Americans or Westerners in general think Japan's like, oh, you know, heavy metal is still big there, and you can be crazy. But they're also, you got to understand, like, we live in the internet age and all that stuff, and with globalization and everything, people are pretty much, you know, almost the same, literally.
Right.
Hip-hop is still big there, too, as well. Like, a lot of people think they're going to go there and find, like, this monster fan base. But, no, I mean, hip-hop and these other forms of music and pop, and they have their little J-pop and their, you know, their little corny stuff, too, and their boy bands,
right,
or whatever, is very big there. So, but, yeah,
huh,
you never know. I mean, that's we didn't start this band, you know, to jump on any bandwagon, clearly.
Right.
I mean, if I wanted to do that, we would just grow our beards, get some, you know, beer guts, and just, you know, play straightforward whatever metal and look like, you know, bums. And that's what would work. But we don't, you know, we don't want to do that. There's a whole aspect of the rock star that's missing. And I think that's why people lost the appeal of rock music in general and have,
right,
found something interesting in hip hop, because they're embracing what we used to embrace 30 years ago. We used to embrace guys, you know, who didn't give a fuck. I mean, you got guys going up with assless chaps and shit, like, zero fucks given. They don't care. And there's just that masculine, animalistic aspect that rock has lost. I mean, we can hide behind the whole beards and looking like dumpster divers and hipsters or whatever the hell it is.
Right.
People are missing the point. It's about zero fucks giving and having a sense of style and playing aggressive music and having also something to say, something real to say, instead of hiding behind heavy music or growling and all that crap. I think that a lot of that stuff now has become very tired and overdone.
Now, how about, speaking of zero fucks given, I mean, how about, I saw you guys were banned from the Viper Room and some other clubs down in LA?
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's safe to talk about it now. Well, everybody knows the Viper Room story. I mean, if you haven't read about it, it's all online. I don't want to repeat it again. I don't really care to give it any more press. But there's another club, too. I'm just trying to think how many clubs were. It's not now. I think there's like three or four right now that we're no longer welcome back to. But, yeah, there's another one involving some sort of, like, I call it the chicken incident. I don't want to name the place. Some people were there. We just literally just shut down the club. You know, the owner had a freak out. We brought out a chicken, and I started, you know, doing things to it before ending its existence. And then he just had a freak out, and then he shut the club down and kicked us off stage and threw everybody out of the place and just, you know, called the cops, and we had to get the fuck out of there. So it was just like, yeah, I'm not sticking around. Bye-bye. It is ridiculous, to be honest. It wasn't that big of a deal. We're trying to give people a show. But he just freaked out for whatever reason. Pretty tame compared to what I really want to do, but hey, you know what I mean. And that, I think that's, we also, like, yeah, our manager also at the time freaked out as well, so I just fired his ass immediately. It's like, if you're not on board for what
then,
you know, get lost.
So you know it's bad, like, when you scare, like, the people at the club, but when you're scaring your,
yeah,
own manager, that, you have a little problem there.
I mean, he was at the time, like, again, he was just trying to sell us off as, like, this, you know, girls, Motley Crue kind of thing, and we told him, like, yeah, that's not what we're about, not even close. Like, they did their thing, and, you know, that was great, and that's what they're known for. I respect that, but I'm not here to play catch up or copycat. Like, right. I don't really give a damn. We're setting our own kind of thing going. I think, you know, he didn't really get where we were coming from. I think when he first time he met us, he was already kind of scared to begin with. I mean, you got to keep in mind, we're all like 6'2 plus, and we're kind of built like linebackers. We're not like too skinny, with exception of like our bass player. So it was pretty funny.
Now, it's I saw it too. Like, I did read the article about the whole that whole Viper Room thing and all, and it said in there something about self mutilation. So, I mean, what do you are you guys like cutting yourselves too, or?
Yeah, there's some shows I'd use the chainsaw's edges and just cut my chest and stuff like that, and spray blood onto the audience and stuff. That was even like that was really early on, like just to freak people out and just get things going. What else? Yeah, you know, doing things with animal parts and all that fun stuff.
All in the name of rock and roll.
Yeah, why not, man? If it ain't pissing people off, then you're not doing it right.
So, you know, we talked about the videos you guys have been doing on YouTube, the covers and all that, but you also did some, you did a cover of the Wasp classic, Cries in the Night, and Kicks Don't Close Your Eyes. Any chance of, like, recording versions for, like, upcoming album or EP or anything?
Yeah, we have a couple of ideas. Tent and I were throwing, you know, back and forth. It would be cool to do an album filled of our influences, but we'll see. You'll have to wait and see.
How about acoustic, too? I mean, 'cause that stuff sounds awesome. Any acoustic shows? or the world's not ready for that yet?
I mean, yeah, we're definitely down. We've been working on some stuff acoustically. That's the beautiful thing. Like, a lot of these songs, even a song like SS, you'd think, like, no way in hell. But they can translate. Like, we've been working on stuff, and, like, they translate pretty well onto the acoustic. That's a little songwriting tip I'd like to give. It's like, if you can write a heavy song, but it could go over well on multiple instruments or on, you know, an acoustic version, then I think you're on the right track, and, you know, you have a solid song.
Right, right.
That's how I found that anyway.
So, all right, so the Mask of Morality Part 1, it came out earlier this year, so that leads me to ask me a Part 2. But you guys also released last week a new video, You Can't Hide from the Beast Inside, which is a killer freaking tune. But you guys actually, like, for the video, it was kind of different because it was more of a sexy video this time around with the, you know, with the hot girl in it and all.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, she's great eye candy.
Absolutely.
Yeah. There is more to the video. I mean, it's like, it's not just like pretty much a piece of ass or taking a piece of ass, but it's just, you know, depicting things like the dangers of succumbing to your darker temptations. Again, I mean, you know, the song is basically a cover of from Fright Night, the 85 movie from Autograph.
Okay.
So some people might not know that, but we completely changed it around. So thanks, Autograph. And we just liked the song, we just made it our own, and we kind of made our own interpretation of what we thought the song would mean in correlation to the Mask of Morality Part 1. Basically, you know, succumbing to your beastly aspects, you know. We all have this ugliness within us, human beings in general, and either you can use it for good or bad, whatever you decide, whatever you consider to be good or bad. And use it to be creative and create something great, or you can use it to be a piece of shit. Simply put.
So now, is part two, like, already done and ready to go? Or are you guys still working on that, or?
It's in the mixing process. I mean, we're looking, hopefully, to get it out by November. But I think people are going to be definitely surprised by the song. Again, we took it a step further. Hell, I'm even surprised. Like, it's just a lot of, let's just say our other influences are going to start seeping through, like what we were mentioning earlier on this podcast.
Huh.
So it's going to be kind of interesting. Don't worry, it still has its grit and balls, but it's going to also be, a different style of orchestration and stuff. You'll see. You're going to have to wait and see. But it's in the mixing processes right now.
Very cool. Super cool. Now, how about any like plans to come out outside of you know, the LA area, hit other states, or?
No, definitely. I mean, we want to definitely go on a full-on tour, but you got to understand, like, we're an independent band, and that shit's expensive. Yeah. I mean, right now we're just seeing, I guess, where demand is. If, like, more than, you know, there's demand more in some other cities, we'll be there. But touring right in this day and age is really brutal. A lot of people say, like, hey, like, you know, the European bands are doing it, and so, but that's a completely different story. I mean, everything there is close together, and it's easy to go, you know, from one country to the next. Whereas, you know, the States are
right.
so spread out, you know, going from here to, say, I don't know, New York, or you're, I guess you're in Philly, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's, it's brutal as far. I mean, but we definitely would love to do it, but we'll see where that goes. It'd be nice.
You know, it's kind of crazy. Like, the scene is just so weird right now. Like, because, you know, we've actually been promoting some shows throughout this past year. I just did a show this past Saturday night. I did a Halloween
yeah.
show. And, I mean, there's, like, within an hour radius, there was, like, three other, like, rock metal shows going on. It's, like, and it just pulls everybody in different directions. It's just a crazy thing right now.
Yes. I mean, that's the thing. Like, the whole business model of being in a band is nowhere near the same it was 30 years ago, let alone it was maybe 5 years ago. It's changing so quick and so fast.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of bands in our scene right now. Well, I wouldn't even call it a scene, to be honest. There's none left. But, like, that are just, you know, fading away because they're doing the whole, like, I guess, old school way of doing it, you know, going on tour and overstretching themselves before they're building a strong foundation in their current city before moving out.
Right.
I mean, granted, they probably have fans in Europe or on the East Coast or wherever. But again, you're an independent band and you want to hit strong. So you don't really want to start stretching yourself out too much and going to all these places and spending. You want to come home and have a house, you know, and have a roof over your head,
right.
not be, you know, be able to pay your rent, not come home and just be like, oh shit, okay, now I'm out of a job and, you know, I can't pay my rent. So you just
yeah.
got to be smart
yeah.
about these things nowadays. I think YouTube's one aspect to do it. That's one way to start growing your business. That's what we're focusing on. And not to say we won't tour, but also playing live locally and, you know, in the surrounding cities. But as far as going to the East Coast and stuff, as much as we'd love to, it have to be a demand and, you know, somehow to fund it because
right.
it's expensive.
Yeah, I mean, like, where you're seeing just that, like a lot of bands are going out there, you know, doing these little tours and stuff like that. And a lot of them even say, like, they're going out there and they're basically, they're playing their set and they become, you know, T-shirt salespersons and merch salespeople to
yeah.
try to make that money. And anymore, it seems like I'm seeing, like, so many bands just putting out music. And I was just having
yeah.
this talk with a couple of my PR people I deal with. I'm like, you guys are bombarding me every day with so much music. Like, you can't even, like, focus on what it is. And I'm thinking to myself, like, it's like everybody's just throwing music out there now. And it takes, like, a band like you guys, like, you
mm-hmm.
guys have not only the music that hits, but the look that puts you above the rest. You know what I mean? It stands out. So, I mean, that's helpful in a way. And then, again, YouTube, which you guys use, I think is such a huge asset to everybody.
Yeah, especially nowadays. I mean, like you said, everybody and their sister is like in a band or playing music or could record music on their laptop. It's like no problem.
Right.
And there's such an overwhelming amount. Not all of it, a lot of it isn't quality. But it's, again, like anybody can do it nowadays.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard. You just got a lot of bands nowadays got to just change their business model completely and stop going on these tours and, you know, overstretching themselves and spending a fortune to, you know, get across the country in some beat up van or these, like, for their egos, I think. I don't know. I think that's what most guys are ending up doing it for their egos. Like, oh, we're in a band. We need to tour. Like, no, you don't need to fucking tour. It's 2017. Change up the game, you know? If there's a demand, you know, there's like, you can fill up, if you know you can fill up, like, I don't know, 500 people in a club, you're certain you can do that, and you just crunch the numbers, hell, I'll be like, all right, you know, pack your bags and go give it a shot. But I mean, if you're going on tour and you're filling up like five people at a bar, like you're wasting your time. You're not doing yourself any favors. You're just, you know, stroking your ego. You got to really rethink the whole business model.
And how about like bands like that who turn around and, yeah, they're getting into a van and hooking up a trailer to a pickup and, you know, they really, just like that, they don't have much of a following, and then they're going to hit you up and say, hey, I need this much of a guarantee. It's like, what? Really?
Who? Yeah, it's just like, you got to, again, you got to build yourself. I mean, you have this advantage. There's an advantage and also a disadvantage. You got an advantage of the online world. I mean, you got YouTube, you got all these social media as well, but like Facebook's kind of dying now, but that's a whole other story. But YouTube is like your bread and butter. I mean, you got to just think of uninventive new ways to get people to get their asses up and get to your shows. Because a lot of people, there's so many, like you said, there's so many bands. It's like, oh, should I go see, you know, this band, or should I go see, you know, I'm saving my money to go see, I don't know, Maiden or something, or whatever,
right,
or Behemoth or whatever other band. You just got to, and you also got to give something special. You know what I mean? I mean, a lot of people just look at us like, oh, they'd have a gimmick. It's just, you know, they think, you know, they're attracting attention with the big hair. Yeah, of course, we're also attracting a lot of negative attention.
Yeah.
Like, as well, you got to understand. Yeah, a lot of people might like the music and take a look at us and be like, oh, shit, oh, this is, no, I don't like it. You know, those type of people are really just not, you know, much, and they're not mentally endowed, I would say. But it goes both ways. You got to offer something special to get people out there, and you got to also work off the online world and get your name out there and start building an audience.
Right.
Just find your niche. Find something that works. I can't really give much advice because, you know, we're doing our own thing as well, but, you know, it's something, you know, to work towards.
I'll tell you what, though, like, even like you said about the negative attention, it's funny because a friend of mine, I've known this guy since high school, so we're talking 30-plus years now, and he was always into, like, the heavier stuff and the thrashier stuff and all. But, I mean, now over the years, he's just a true rock metalhead or whatever. And He has put up a few times. He's listening to you guys, and he'll always shoot me messages like, "I fucking love these guys. Thank you," because he heard you guys on my show. He's like, and I'm kind of blown away because I thought the image might turn him off, but he freaking loves you guys. So
yeah, I mean, we got those fans as well. Like, they don't. That's part of the whole shock metal moniker that we, you know, have for ourselves, because it's not only like, oh, look how crazy we look. Like, nobody gives a shit how crazy you look. You know. If I can wear a tutu and strap on a dildo on my forehead, nobody would give a rat's ass. They might be like, question my choice, but they don't. It's like, you can't shock people anymore. You know what I mean? In this day and age. But the whole shock metal thing in general comes from the fact that you're looking at us and you're expecting a certain style of music, but then you get a whole other package. I mean, when you look at us, you're probably expecting, I get this, we get this all the time, like, I don't know. Oh, I was expecting like Motley Crue or melodic rock or AOR or whatever. And then they fucking hear Enigma coming out and they're like, what the fuck? It's like, whoa. I mean, we've heard stuff like we're a mix of like, I don't know, Rat and Mayhem. And there's a lot of that aspect in our music because we listen to all that stuff. So we don't really close ourselves off to any genre.
Cool. All right, so where should we send everybody to go and buy the music, buy the merch, buy anything you guys got to, you know, keep the music coming and maybe a tour at some point?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, basically, you know, our Facebook page, Salem's Lot Band. You can go to our Instagram, Salem's Lot Band as well, and our YouTube page. Just subscribe, and you have all the links there. I mean, and the store is online, salemslot.com, and what is our YouTube? I think Salem's Lot Official. And check out all the songs, covers, and a lot of, you know, cool shit coming up. A lot of cool stuff. And I think people are going to be definitely impressed with Mask 2. Like, it's we pushed it again even further. So, always changing it up. You'll see.
That's cool. I can't wait.
Yeah.
Well, dude, this has been great talking to you. And, when that
Mark 2
comes out, let's talk again. And then let's keep spreading that word to you guys.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, man. Take care.
All right. Yeah, you have a good one. Bye-bye.
Listen, evil love.
Welcome back to Dirty Rocks. Bay Ragney here. There you go. Salem's Lot. That's their latest single video. It comes off their last EP, which came out in May, The Mask Morality. And that tune is called You Can't Hide from the Beast Inside. There's a video for that. Like I said, it's on YouTube, so go check it out. And before that, we did the first single off of that EP, and that's called Enigma. And there's also a video for that as well. So there you go. Salem's Lot. There's our little Salem's Lot special. You can check them out at salemslot.com. That's Lot with L-O-T-T. So there's two T's in Lot. So make sure you check them out. And also make sure you check us out. Totally Driven Entertainment, Totally Driven Radio. Look for us all over social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Like us, love us, follow us. Or myself as well, Bay Ragney. Just look for me at bayragney.com. Or no, how about that? Yeah, there's no .com of me yet. Bay Ragney on Twitter, at Bay Ragney. You can shoot me an email, make a request at bayragney@gmail.com. Or, like I said, just friend me on Facebook or however you want to do it. I'm not hard to find. And make sure also, too, I am still in first place. Make sure you go and vote for me, please, at the phillycityvoter.com. Philly A-List Contest, the best of Philadelphia. I'm number one in the best radio personality for of Philadelphia. And I don't know how, but I am. But let's do this. Let's win this. I mean, we got a month to go for voting. So there's 4 more weeks to go. So let's keep them votes coming in, and let's win this. Let's make the world a totally different place, and let's start by kicking Philly's ass. Or, you know, that's where I'm from. So let's do this. So, all right. So thanks again, everybody, for tuning in. We'll be back live on Thursday night with Totally Driven Radio. And we're going to have former MTV VJ Karen Duffy will be on talking about her new book called Backbone, where she talks about being stricken with this rare chronic disease called sarcoidosis, which also I have as well. I found out earlier this year. So she has this book coming out. I found out she also suffers from it. And I reached out to her, and we've been talking, and she's going to do the show on Thursday and talk about, you know, sarcoidosis and her book, and we'll be talking about MTV and all that fun stuff, too, and also probably how she used to date George Clooney, so it should be interesting. So anyway, make sure you tune in Thursday night. Total Gym Radio will be live, and everybody, thanks for your support, thanks for tuning in, and until next Thursday and Sunday night when we return with a full shit 3-hour show of music, stay driven, everybody. Thank you, and see ya.